Hi, welcome to Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Ruth, and we're in chapter 2. I trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
It had been fully shown to me all that you have done. You've burned bridges, you've walked away from your family and your gods, you've come here and you've framed a state that says you're going to let her God be your God. I'm for you. You just come on in. Listen, we sometimes bar the doors because of our prejudices or because of our misgivings or because of our preconceived ideas about people. We need to not be that. We need to look and see if God's in there. There was a lady at this McDonald's years ago back in Pennsylvania where I was pastoring. I'd go in there and get a muffin, and she worked that shift. It was not just a muffin, I just want to say. It was a raspberry Danish. And I think they put it in the microwave for about 10 seconds, maybe 9. But it was perfect. And I mean, it would melt in your mouth. But I thought this lady, she was like in her mid-30s, a little older than I was at the time. And I thought, if I could just talk to her, she's so sweet, I think she'd get saved. I think she'd get saved. Well, the next thing I know, I never get a chance. She's working. I'm in a car, and I don't see her. She's always doing the window, so I thought, it's not going to happen, but I just knew it. My wife started a release time across the street from our church, from the school across the street. They'd bring them over just across the street, and her daughter was in that crowd. And so suddenly, we have this thing going on, and at the end of the year, we want to have a meet and greet with these parents for the release time, and her parents both come to church, and they come back twice. Suddenly, she's saying, I'm not saved. Her daughter got saved in the release time, and I get to go visit them. And this is the story connected you've heard before about the dog that wouldn't quit howling. I get to their house. The dog's howling and howling and howling. I said, must hear something. No, he's deaf. He's doing that often. He's never done that before. I'm there to win him to Christ, but the demons could tweak the dog, but you can't touch these people. They got saved that night. My point is that when you see God doing something, you go with that. Gina had a similar situation. I was giving you things. I'm coming back. She's going to give you a tract. And every time she'd open up and talk to me again, she'd say, yeah, no, I didn't think anything. But, you know, the devil's working on me, making me think, well, maybe I'm making her uncomfortable because I'd keep coming back. But I didn't come back too much, and she came along, got saved, got baptized. Now there's a thing going on here with the church and her husband and here and all. It's good. It's good. All right? So that's what you got to do. You got to look. And God's doing something here, and they see it. Now, the Bible says she was a stranger. Boaz saw it. He had heard all the things that she had framed. She was asking the questions. She was interested in the answers. She left her home of her nativity in verse 11. You're come to a people you knew not. Listen, it says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What he said to her in essence was this: what you're doing it right. Keep doing that. Keep doing that. Because I know from my vantage point that this is how it works. You keep doing that. And he says, you're under the wings of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, under whose wings you've come to trust. And then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids. She sees grace. You know it when you see it. When you're rich, it's hard to see grace because you hardly ever need favor from somebody else. Maybe back in the day when you'd break down and somebody came by, gave you a jump, went on their way. You saw grace. But really, it's very rare that people in overly prosperous conditions see grace with clarity in the day-to-day. She saw it because she was in a lean condition. Now listen, that's not to say that a person who's wealthy can't see grace, because the fact is that when sin weighs upon you, you begin to see your guilt. And when you see that guilt, no matter how much money you have, you can't calm the conscience and you can't stop the Holy Spirit if you're willing to hear His still small voice convicting. The Bible says what He's doing, I told you a moment ago, He went into the world and He's convicting the world. I said it to you. He convicts the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So even a rich person could be convicted if they'll receive it. If they'll hear it, He'll give them more. And the weight can become enough for them to realize their great need of grace. And that's what you really hope for the loved ones we have in this country, and for people all across the world, of course. So here we have her saying, you've comforted me. Why? Because the moment you start moving toward Jesus, that's what he's going to do. Yeah, there will be upheavals, there will be hurts, there will be aches, but somehow he will show you there's another place for your foot to fall that will work for you. Just do that. And I have many steps that I had to take that were some easy and some difficult, and some were backwards. But he used it all and has throughout my life. When it says that he has been friendly to her, the idea of being friendly is the idea that he's spoken to her in such a way as to be emotionally connected to what he said. But there are some things that you'll hear from an older believer when you need to hear it, and it will help you get past the hurdle. You know, God's got something in it. I don't know what it is, but he's in the details, and he'll help you. And you're like, I don't know. Nothing can help. Listen, you just keep going, and he will comfort you because he will speak to you, and he will speak through older believers and brothers and sisters, maybe even somebody who's lost. I've had people say things to me when they were lost that were nice to me, and it was like, I needed it at that moment. And the Bible says, you've spoken friendly to me in such a way that was from the heart, literally. It says, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens. So she feels like she's a little embarrassed for not looking like everybody else, okay? She was a Gentile, and they were Jewish people, and there was different nuances in their look. Verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat. Remember Jesus saying, come and dine? Come and dine. And that's after he raised, and Peter had fallen, and he says, you guys come on over and dine. It's like, who me? You know, we just feel like we're not worthy. Well, he puts her there, and she's sitting by the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat. She probably wasn't going to take the food, you know. You're sitting at his table, you're like, I don't belong here. I don't know which fork to use or whatever. What's the protocol? You know, it reminds us of the Shulamite, right? I'm black and comely, you know, but it's because my brothers were angry. I've been working in the vineyard. I'm dark. And then she says, but he seats me at his table and his banner over me is love. This guy is making a dance continue. That very day he sits at his table and he takes her under his wing. Now, one of the things you'll note is that he actually calls her his daughter in the narrative as well. So he's not seeing her in such a way as to make her uncomfortable, but he is taking care of her, and I think that's very important. The Bible says that she actually took the food and she was sufficed. And in verse 15, it says that day she went ahead and she gleaned at the sheaves because they were told to let her do so. Interestingly enough, when she left, Boaz actually commanded them to let her eat at the sheaves. That means where it was ungleaned. It's not like I'm thinking, I thought it was a hay bale. What it was it was over where it hadn't been gleaned yet at all. So that's what it means. Maybe that's just me that doesn't know that as a rule. But she was able to go in. And why would she? Why would she? Because she heard the boss say she can go. And she was comforted in his affirmation. And she went. Listen, God wants you to be bold in your walk with him. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you might find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You and I have a great God. And he wants you to be bold in your relationship with him. Well, beyond all of that, he tells his reapers in verse 16, let some handfuls on purpose fall. So she's getting a lot. She's just being loved on. It's the first day on the job, and she's doing pretty good. Boss has took a shine to her, it seems. When she comes home to Naomi, the Bible says that she brought to Naomi, verse 18, that which she had reserved after she sufficed. Now, just a little side note here. It's important to give to the Lord. He has given us an embarrassment of riches. Do not hold back on him. I can see her taking 5 ephahs. This is 5 days worth of food. Most gleaners got enough for one day for their family. She's coming home with 5 days, some food. And she's probably eaten a little bit. She ate at the hut, so she didn't eat much. What else did she reserve? She reserved everything that she didn't eat from a little bit, but also, perhaps as she's on her way, she might have seen some other gleaners needing some food too. So she gave some to them. And she might have come along and saw some poor people who couldn't even walk and gave them something. Listen, the Bible is very clear that we are supposed to enter into the grace of giving because good measure pressed down and shaken together, God shall return into your bosom. He might not give you back what you gave, but he'll give you what you need when you need it. There's a man who put it very interesting that when God opens the heart, he opens the hand. So when he opens our hearts, he opens our hand. We want to be a good giver. We want to help other people. And the Bible says her mother-in-law was taking this in. Where have you gleaned and where did you work? And she says, blessed be he that took knowledge of thee. She, somebody was being nice to you in verse 19. And she said, the man's name with whom I wrought. Circle the word with. Because he wasn't working in the field, but he was dancing with her all day. He came in, he saw her, he took a shine to her, he cared for her, he said in her presence, let her glean among the sheaves. He said, throw some handfuls on purpose. You stay here, you go with my maidens, my men won't touch you, I've got you. She was enjoying a good day of hard work. And she sees it as the man's name with whom I wrought today was Boaz. Naomi told her, blessed be the Lord who had not left off his kindness. That's that word, hesed. This man is a kinsman to us. Verse 20, verse 21, Ruth said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast until they have ended all my harvest. So he's talking about the wheat harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth, it is good. It's good. This is good. Go out with his maidens and that they meet thee not in another field. You know what that is? That's saying you need to start separating a little bit now. You know, salvation, you know, this whole thing about leaving the world behind. Don't go to the world's crowd. Don't go to the bar Friday night if you always went to the bar. You're thinking about things higher and better. You let that stuff go. Don't let you be found in some other field. God's opening your eyes and showing you your way. And you need to not be in that other field. Stop doing that because he's being so gracious. Verse 22, he says, don't be found in another field. And then verse 23, it says, so Ruth kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, so both of them, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now, as I wrap this up, just know this. I said it a little bit ago, but God's grace is seen in every circumstance of a salvation. Some people get saved as children. Some people get saved as teenagers. Some as 20s and 30s and 40s. And some as 84 on their deathbed like my father. And every story is a story of grace and good and sweet. And so don't ever look at somebody else and say, boy, I wish I had their testimony. You don't want their testimony. Your testimony is yours. Your story is yours. It's unique. It's got all kinds of facets that are going to be awesome to hear. In glory, you're going to be telling that story forever. Okay? Angels are going to say, I don't want to bug you because you're above the angels. You're going to judge the angels. Yeah, I don't want to bug you, but could you maybe take a minute and tell me what happened in your life? You're going to be saying, well, yeah, I got all the time in eternity. We can sit and talk. And you're going to tell them. And the angels are going to get goosebumps. Just because your story is that awesome and Jesus shines through those stories. So don't ever, ever, ever give up what your testimony is. And don't ever besmirch it. Don't ever frown upon it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:22, he that is called in the Lord being a servant is the Lord's free man. And he that is likewise called being free is Christ's servant. It doesn't matter whether you're bond or free. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you are a good kid or a bad kid. What matters is you are God's now. And as God's child now, he took you as he found you. Okay? And some of you have a birthmark. It's a wound you have that humbled you, and you say, that's my birthmark. You just own that. That's your birthmark. And God loves you. When I was a little boy, my shirt caught on fire, and I was in the hospital for 3 months, and they were doing skin grafts and everything. And when I got home as a little 9-year-old boy, I remember to this day my dad taking my shirt off, and he put his hand on my wound. And I was accepted. He didn't do it to make me accepted, but I felt accepted. Jesus puts his hand on your wound. He knows who you are. He knows where you've been. And he will use you where he has found you. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming, and we'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.